Welcome to Trailer Blazers, the action-packed thriller about two manses' journey into the crowded podcast market.
I'm one of those manses. My name is Nick. I can't do that voice so well.
I'm just one man. Ben Moon. One way.
Your name even sounds like a movie name.
So my full name, well, I don't want to give away my full name on the podcast. That's like a security risk.
Yeah, because then if people know your true name, they have power over you.
I think I would change my name, my last name, so it starts with a B. So I have like Benjamin Bratt, but not him, obviously. I'm not going to name myself another actor's name. That would be stupid.
Yeah, I think if I was going to have a movie name, I don't think my name is good for an actor name, but if I use my mom's last name, maybe, because her maiden name is Rose. So Nicholas Rose is kind of cool.
That is kind of a cool one. Nicholas, and then, you know, once you get real popular, they could call you Nick.
Yep.
You know, with a little bit of affection.
I don't spell it like this normally, but I would spell it N-I-C, like Nick Cage, and then I could talk like Nick Cage. I can't do the trailer voice, but I can kind of do a Nick Cage voice.
You know, I was going on a date with my wife the other night, and we were talking about, she had just watched, the Christmas movie where the guy dies.
Christmas Carol?
Yeah, no.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. Jimmy Stewart, yeah. And we were talking about, I was like, yeah, Jimmy Stewart kind of sounds like Nick Cage a little bit.
What do you want, Mary? You want the moon?
I wish I had $1 million. Hot dog! And he had a little white rabbit.
Harvey. Yeah, I see the Cage in there.
Well, I've said too much.
Yeah, so I actually did not watch that movie, but I have watched a few things this past week.
We had another good week.
We had a good week. We've actually got a fully packed show for you today, ladies and gentlemen. But I will I'll start off by telling you, I watched The Irishman.
So you finished it, because you had begun it last time.
Buddy, I tell you what, I went to donate platelets, and even doing that, I didn't get through the whole thing. you know how long it takes to donate platelets, but so I watched half of it, and then I sat down and watched the other half. I gotta say, as you know, Scorsese makes us mad, but man, the acting in that movie, good grief.
Yeah, very good.
They left me wanting more, I'll say that.
See, Scorsese was the least offensive. I think people just blew what he said out of proportion.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, we've kind of cooled off on it a little bit.
Yeah.
But tell you, I want more Joe Pesci.
Pesci, yeah, where he disappeared, because he pretty much retired, and he came back and he did, when Robert De Niro directed The Good Shepherd, he was in that, but I don't think he was in anything since that.
Well, he left me wanting more, because his performance is Oscar-worthy, I'll tell you that.
I'll have to watch The Irishman at some point. It's so long that it's daunting.
It really is long. It's super-duper long, but it's engaging pretty much the whole time. I really liked it. I also watched one of your favorite movies, Drive.
Yes, that is my second all-time favorite movie.
If I drive for you, you get your money. That's a guarantee.
So it was on Netflix, I was basically texting you as I was watching it, and man, that's got some brutal scenes in it. Wow, boy. Woo.
Yeah, it's not light fare. It's extremely well written. Like,
yeah.
The show don't tell is very present in there. Also, just the style of the movie is pretty much my favorite aesthetic ever.
You tell me where we start, where we're going afterwards. I give you 5 minutes when we get there. Anything happens in that 5 minutes and I'm yours, no matter what.
I kept watching it going, when does he go to Bangkok? When do we get to Bangkok? But that's not the same movie.
Nope, that's Only God Forgives, which is the same director, Nicholas Winding Refn.
And it is another Gosling movie.
He is my favorite actor.
And there you have it. Now, I also watched Willow, which I have not seen in probably over 20 years, and actually, I don't think I've seen the whole thing.
Ben, the last time I saw Willow, it was on a Betamax tape.
That's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if you can buy a machine that will play such a cassette.
You'd have to go into a garage sale for such treasures.
So, Willow, the one takeaway I had from it is that there is a scene between the old lady witch and the evil queen witch in the castle, and you can see that it directly influenced Peter Jackson when he filmed the fight scene between Gandalf and Saruman and Orthanc in the first Lord of the Rings movie. Because it is like some of those shots. I'm like, am I watching Lord of the Rings? Because this is like the same thing.
Oh, yeah. That's a pioneer of good fantasy, Willow.
Yeah, it's great. So some of the effects don't hold up all that great, but it's still a good watch.
I conflate scenes from that in my head with Legend with Tom Cruise. So I'm going to have to watch it just so I can separate them out. Because I know there's scenes I'm thinking of, and then I'm like, no, that was Legend.
You're not warriors.
What have you? So, what have you been watching this past week?
I watched a couple movies and a show. I watched Children of Men because I had one day left on my Stars subscription and I had not seen Children of Men. Man, that is a good movie.
Yeah, it's real good.
Yeah, it's
real good.
It's bleak, but the camera work in that movie is some of the best that I've ever seen. And all the acting is good. The performances are all good. Yeah, that was really good. I watched that and I watched 4 out of 5 episodes of Chernobyl. But a little while ago, just before we started recording, I watched Ides of March, which is the final Ryan Gosling movie I had not seen. So now I've seen them all, and I have to see them all because he's my favorite.
Gotta see them all. Ryan Gosling? all right, so before we have a lot of trailers this week, Nick, as you know.
We do.
As you well know. So, but before we jump into the trailers, let's do the questions times.
Oh, this is my favorite.
Question. What kind of bear is best?
I love this segment. It might just be a permanent segment because it's always fun.
Yeah, unless we can't think of any. I mean, you can't think of any.
I've got an infinite supply,
I would think.
All right, so Nick, the first question I want to ask you, if you could inherit any Disney princess's castle, which one would you want?
I didn't have to think too hard on this one. I would definitely take Merida's Scotland castle from Brave.
You'll be inheriting your own castle.
Right, exactly. That's my folk. I'm Irish, not Scottish, but, you know, I think them's your folk, too.
Them is my folk. All of UK.
Mm-hmm.
Real white. We're both really white.
Yeah, I'm 4 different kinds of white.
Yeah, 4 different shades of white. So I thought a lot about this. I actually talked about this question with Aaron over dinner the other night. Last night, actually. And so I really wanted to say Prince Eric, his castle, which becomes subsequently Ariel's castle in The Little Mermaid. And I was like, you know, it's on like a tropical coast. You've got the ocean right there. You can do ocean stuff, fishing, you know, surfing, whatever it is. And then Aaron was like, no, it's in Denmark.
Denmark.
It's in That was kind of my reaction. I was like, Denmark? But here's the thing. If you look at the sea creatures in that movie, they do not line up with the sea creatures you find off the coast of Denmark. So what does that lead me to believe? I think, this is my theory, that it takes place in the Caribbean and that he's a Danish prince in the Caribbean and they've built him a castle there. In which case, if that is the case, yes, I will take that.
Maybe he was supposed to succeed Hamlet and then... That all went to pot and he had to flee.
Maybe so, but at any rate, his castle is on the coast and that looks really nice to me.
He's Danish?
The Little Mermaid, like, old tale is apparently Danish.
The Hans Christian Andersen one?
I think. I don't know. There's people gonna write in and tell us, I'm sure.
I don't remember what his castle looked like. I always liked the Disney movies that were like Robin Hood and a guy liked 101 Dalmatians. I didn't watch some of the princessier ones. I never really liked Little Mermaid or like Beauty and the Beast, so I don't remember what those castles really looked like. But Merida's castle ruled, so I would have that one.
That's pretty cool. Prince Eric's castle is pretty small, which I kind of like because that means you have less servants and less people to manage, and also less people that probably want to kill you. So to me, that seems like a better option.
Yeah, I think the size of the castle is directly proportional to the amount of people that want to kill you. But also, the more comfortable the castle is, despite the size, it might go up. So my cold Scottish castle, while larger, might be just as safe as your Caribbean small castle.
Could be. Trade routes, too. I'm on the coastline, so I get, like, spices and stuff from the trade routes.
Oh, that's a good point. You gotta get them spices.
Them spices. The spice must flow, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Nick, let me ask you the second question here. What food have you seen in a movie or TV show that you couldn't stop thinking about that looks so good?
I read this question, and before I had even finished reading it, I thought about the scene in Hook where they're eating the quote-unquote imaginary food.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, and like everything looked like it was like frosting and all this great food, and it's just that to me was always the most appetizing scene in anything that ever existed.
They literally pan the camera down the table to show you all them goods, and boy, it was probably the first thing I thought of as well. Gosh.
It might be the greatest food scene in any movie.
It might be. Oh, you know what I just thought of, Nick?
What's that?
Harry Potter.
Oh yeah, that food's pretty legit too.
Yeah, but you gotta think, that is English food, and they're not exactly known for their cuisine.
Yeah, that is true. Plus, if you eat, like, if you go the candy route, like, they had all those magical candies, and you're eating those, every flavor beans, you know, there's, like, a vomit-flavored one.
Yeah, you don't want to get the one that's a bogey flavor, you know?
Yeah, no, not for me. The other thing I thought of was there's a cartoon called Regular Show, and there's a grilled cheese restaurant called Cheezers, and they were able to make these really appetizing-looking grilled cheeses on that cartoon.
Whoa! Is that a grilled cheese deluxe from Cheezers?
Yes, it is.
It always makes me hungry. I actually had a grilled cheese, like, an hour and a half ago.
There was an episode of Frog and Toad when James Earl Jones used to host it, and he made a peanut butter sandwich one time, and it looked like he was spreading peanut butter on a softball. It looked like, in my mind's eye, it doesn't look like any sandwich I've ever seen. It just looked like a ball of, I guess, peanut butter. I don't know. I think about that sometimes.
He puts peanut butter on a softball and throws it at your mouth.
Basically. I need to find that on YouTube. It's got to be on YouTube somewhere.
Hey, if we were able to find Armageddon on YouTube, I'm sure you can find James Earl Jones's peanut butter ball.
You know, also the charcuterie and stuff from the first season of Game of Thrones looked really good.
Yeah, but I wouldn't eat anything from Westeros. It's probably got like fingers in it and poison.
Yeah, probably so. Oh, did you ever watch that Jiro Dreams of Sushi?
I have not seen it, but I think Jess talks about it sometimes, and I love sushi. I'm sure everything... Wait, no, I did see that. I did see that. Yes, I did.
It looks real good. The sushi looks really good.
Yep, I forgot that I had watched it.
All right, Nick, what fictional movie or TV show character do you wish you could be friends with in real life?
This one took me a little while longer than the other ones because I kept waffling, so I just wrote down a bunch. The first thing that came to my head was Merry and Pippin from Lord of the Rings.
Such a good answer.
Yeah, I would want to get into, like, Hobbit hijinks in the Shire with them. Like, I don't want to go to Mordor and well, those two never went to Mordor, but I don't want to go on the path to Mordor and fight orcs, but I do want to, like, blow off Gandalf's fireworks and get chased away.
And drink ale.
I don't even drink, and if I was in the Shire, I would.
I think the ale in the Shire is probably really good.
Yeah, it has to be. I know all the drinking songs from The Lord of the Rings, so I might as well go there.
I want to learn them. Next time we're together, we can sing them.
Yep, we'll jump up on the table, stomp our feet.
You can get your fancy ales, you can drink them by the flagon, but the only truth, the brave and true, come from the green dragon.
That sounds like a good time.
I had a couple other answers. I've always wanted to be friends with Turk from Scrubs.
I've never seen that show.
Oh, that's one of my favorite. That's probably my favorite sitcom. That or Cheers. I like those. But Turk is very fun. So I would like to be friends with him. Donald Faison in real life seems cool too. He's obsessed with Star Wars, so I think I'd get along with him.
Sounds like an okay chap.
Yep. And then I also picked a cartoon, and I would want to be friends with Launchpad from DuckTales and Darkwing Duck because he's great.
I like Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck is the best.
I don't know what my answers say about me, but I chose the ship from Flight of the Navigator.
That's a great answer.
I think that would be an awesome friend, and also he could take me throughout the galaxy.
Sit down, Navigator.
Yeah, that's a real good one.
I'm always looking for an excuse to have a spaceship.
Plus, it's like a robot companion.
Which, and also, so my second answer is the AI from the movie Her.
Oh, that was a good movie, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so, how helpful was she?
She was great.
She was awesome. And then, so I'm not going to give any spoilers, but yeah, she's great.
Yeah, so Spike Jones never makes bad movies.
He really does not. And then I also thought, you know, I need an actual, like, real live character. Like somebody that's alive. And I think I'd like to be friends with Rocket from the Guardians of the Galaxy.
He would be a difficult friend sometimes, but yes. He reminds me of friends that I do have, so I would probably get along with him.
I think it'd be an interesting time, and he could make cool inventions for us to use.
Uh-huh. He would pull weapons on people a lot, and you'd have to sort of talk those situations down, which is what I mean from difficult, but
yeah.
He would be in your corner, I think, so it's always good to have Rocket Raccoon on your side.
He probably would steal from you occasionally, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a raccoon.
Yeah, the harbulary batteries, you know.
All right, that does it for the questions. Times, Nick?
Yep, and I'll post these like I did with the last time, and I will read, when we get to trailer mailers later, I'll read the responses that we got from last week's question times.
And I can go ahead and tell you, they are good.
Some of them made me laugh out loud.
So good. All right, so let's talk about these new trailers. Nick, we had a bunch.
Yeah, we had a good week again. They had to make up for the 2 weeks ago when it was like scraping the depths of YouTube to find anything even passable.
It was that. So the first trailer we got here is a movie called Free Guy.
This was a Ryan Reynolds movie where he's playing an NPC in a video game. And I had heard of this a while ago because both Ryan Reynolds and Taika Waititi were signed on to this project, and I wasn't sure in what capacity Taika was in it, but I guess he's just in it as an actor. But he's going through his daily life as an NPC, just trying to survive in this video game world where everything... It looks like an MMO type game where people are just popping in and someone was doing an emote in the background. It looks pretty funny. It looks like if the movie Pixels was watchable.
My immediate thought was that old show Reboot. Do you remember that computer animated show Reboot?
That is one of my favorite shows, and Jess had said when we were watching the trailer for Free Guy, she said, this is just Reboot.
That's exactly what I said. I said, oh, this is Reboot.
Yep,
As soon as he realizes that he's in the game world, I was like, oh, he's an NPC. This is Reboot.
Yeah, he's a sprite, and the GameCube comes down, and then the user is running around wreaking havoc. It is Reboot.
Yeah, but Ryan Reynolds doesn't have Glitch.
Nope, and he's not going to... come back later in the Canadian-made seasons and be way cooler.
Now, we have an amazing trailer, I thought, for Wonder Woman 1984.
This movie comes out on my birthday.
Happy birthday, Nick.
Indeed.
It will be.
So, I have two questions from this trailer. One, how come Pedro Pascal looks like Nathan Fillion in this trailer? Because he really does. He looks just like him.
He does. He does look very similar, now that I think about it.
My second question is, why didn't Kristen Wiig look like a monster from the Cats movie?
Yeah, they did not give us a reveal of Cheetah, which I was kind of surprised about. That's what I was wanting to see, because I was like, is she going to be Chitara from Thundercats?
I was worried she would be Taylor Swift from Cats.
Oh, gosh. Well, she'd be a scary villain if that was the case.
I wonder if they're not going to, if they're not going to do it, if it's going to be, if she's just going to wear, cheetah print and they won't actually have her be transformed or something. I don't know anything about these characters. I'm not a DC guy, so I don't know. I don't even know who Pedro Pascal's character is. His name is Max Lord. I've never heard of him.
Yeah, me neither. I've never read a Wonder Woman comic in my life, and I'm wondering, she wears this gold suit with these gold wings in the trailer, and I'm wondering, that must be something from the comics.
I've seen a bunch of side-by-side pictures on Instagram where someone had, it was definitely from some comic where they had pulled her out of. I thought it was a pretty good trailer. The part with the museum was pretty funny, where Chris Pine was admiring the trash can, and she's like, no, that's just a trash can.
It had great music too. They morphed an 80s song into a score.
Yeah, that's been sort of a trend with some trailers. It's where they take an old song and change the it's a weird cover of an 80s song or something, or it was we talked about that in an earlier episode. The Social Network had the cover of Creep by Radiohead. It was which isn't an 80s song, but it was still a weird cover, but I like it. It's an effective thing.
The other thing about this trailer is it had really great graphic design, an 80s aesthetic to the graphics and the words and stuff. I really mm-hmm. dug.
I saw someone in a Facebook group I'm in called it Thor Ragnarok plus Stranger Things 3. I'm pretty sure they got the Stranger Things thing just because there was a mall in the 80s in it.
Right.
I like both of those aesthetics, so bring it on, I say.
Same, yeah. I can't wait for this. I've been actually waiting for this trailer for a while, and there's a lot of whip action in the trailer. A lot of that, well, it's not a whip. It's
a lasso.
Yeah. Yes. The golden lasso of truth.
I wonder if Cheetah's going to be a cheetah. That's mostly what I'm curious about. I bet they're saving it.
Yeah, they must be saving it for a later trailer, because that was like the number one thing I wanted to see, but they did not show it.
Which is smart, because they got me waiting for another trailer now.
They do. They got us. They know how to get us. Then we had a trailer for a movie called Greed, and I have no idea who the target audience this is for.
No, I didn't really like this trailer. I like some of the actors in it. Like, I like Steve Coogan. He can be pretty good. Like, he was really good in that Laurel and Hardy movie with John C. Reilly. Real good in that. I like Isla Fisher sometimes. Like, she was really funny in Hot Rod, but I don't know. I don't even really remember what this was about.
Yeah, I didn't really like this trailer either. And I wonder, is this like a British Wolf of Wall Street? Because it's about this rich guy, like super rich guy, and he's having troubles being rich. You know, getting into the standard scandals and that sort of thing. And it looks like it's just a chronicle of that.
I wonder if it's like a satire of Wolf of Wall Street type movies.
I don't know. I think it is sort of, I think it's either marketed as a comedy or it has a lot of comedic elements.
I don't know. I probably won't watch it.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in seeing this either.
This will be the depth of my exposure to Greed.
Same. All right, now we also have a movie that I probably won't see. You might see this. It's The Queen of John C.
Yeah, Manikarnika.
Say it again.
Manikarnika, the queen of Jhansi. There's two trailers for two different Bollywood movies about Manikarnika, the queen of Jhansi. There was Manikarnika, and then there was the warrior queen of Jhansi. And the reason that I put both of these on here was it reminds me of how there'll always be like a movie comes out, and then a movie comes out about the same exact thing right around that time, and then one's always much, much better than the other one.
So one of them is in Hindi, I'm guessing, and the other one is in English.
I wonder if they switched, because I know the plot of the movie, Jhansi, the territory of Jhansi, was under siege basically during the English colonization of India, so and Manikarnika fought against the English colonization. Sometimes they'll do bilingual movies, like the movie Lagan. It's a Bollywood movie about colonial England and stuff like that, and that was bilingual. So now, as I say, it could be a case like that, but it's interesting because, like, I thought the Warrior Queen of Jhansi, the first trailer, looked a lot more of like an action movie, like a 300-y. A lot of Bollywood action movies are sort of like 300, where they use a lot of slow-mo, and the effects are similar to that. And then this other one looked a little more subdued.
Yeah, that I have a lot to say about the Manikarnika one, the one that was all in Hindi, because it starts out like there's this tiger leaping, and then she fires an arrow, and the arrow must weigh 200 pounds, because when it hits the tiger, that dude gets flung. Like, he's moving in one direction, and all of a sudden he switches to a different direction as he gets hit by that arrow.
She shoots him from the front, and he goes flying off to the right.
Yes. So it's like, you know, force is equal to mass times acceleration, right?
Not in Bollywood,
because if that's normal acceleration of an arrow, then it has to have a higher mass, like 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And then, so there's a little bit of wire running in that trailer, too, which I was like, oh, I dig this. You know, I love that wire run, that Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon that we always talk about.
Yep.
But then like the next cut is she's riding on a horse through this field, and there's a CGI scarf flowing mm-hmm. behind her. And I'm like, guys, y'all couldn't get like a flowy material? Because in the next scene after that, they're on a battlefield with all these like orange flags, and it's like a sheer
uh-huh.
material, and it's blowing in the wind just fine. I'm like, why couldn't you have done that? Why did you have to have a CGI scarf?
Stuff like that always makes me think of, there's this part in The Simpsons where they're filming a Radioactive Man movie.
Sir, why don't you just use real cows?
Cows don't look like cows on film. You gotta use horses.
That's exactly the same situation. And also, I will say too, again, these Indian trailers are brutal. Like, they are so violent. It's not like they don't cut away. Like, there's this shot Whereas he like cuts the, I mean, the sword goes into the dude's head and it just shows it. And I'm just like, good grief. What is this coming on TV in India? Like, what is this?
I think it's a more conservative country. And the way that like ratings boards go for movies in conservative countries tend to be that way, where like violence is okay. It's like everything else that is less prevalent.
Did you happen to see the one shot where she, it's like a slow-mo shot of her yelling with bloody teeth?
Uh-huh.
And the dubbing is like way off. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer to watch these in the original language. Like I watched, there's a Bollywood movie called
No. When I say dubbing, I mean it was like they dubbed her voice like in Hindi over the shot.
Oh, I thought maybe you had watched an English version of the trailer.
No. It's just like they slowed the video down and they're like, well, her voice messes up when we slow it down, so we have to get her to get in the sound booth, and it sounds terrible.
I'll have to go back and check that out again. That's funny.
Yeah. All right, so then we have a movie called Escape from Pretoria.
This movie reminded me of Papillon, kind of. Have you ever seen that?
I have not.
It's a movie with Dustin Hoffman and Steve McQueen where they're like breaking out of prison. But this one seemed to be South Africa, or either that or everyone was doing South African accents. It's probably a true story. I've never heard of it.
I believe the trailer did say it was a true story. Does this movie look really long? Like, do you think it looks like it's going to be really long?
Yeah, it does have that feel. It has the feel, well, like Papillon was really long too, and this just felt like Papillon.
Yeah, I think this might be a long movie, but it looks good. Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe looks kind of strung out in it.
Then we have a trailer for Promising Young Woman.
Yeah, this one was kind of scary.
Yeah, it looks interesting, but it's a woman who pretends to be just, you know, sort of blackout drunk at bars or whatever. And when nice, quote unquote, nice guys offer to take her home or, you know, help her out, she sees what they're going to do. And then, it, you know, and then it's like, fooled you.
Yeah, I wonder what she does to him.
It's like it said revenge in big letters on the trailer. So I was like, this is kind of cool.
One of the guys that had gone back with her that she was tricking was McLovin from Superbad. Yeah. I was like, oh, I want to see what happens to McLovin. I'm going to watch this movie.
Yeah, I wonder where they're going to take the story, because it's like, it can't just be a series of her getting these dudes, these terrible dudes. There has to be something else there. And there is. They kind of communicate that in the trailer, but I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, well, it had a really good cast, too. Like, Carey Mulligan is, I think, the main character is Carey Mulligan, and McLovin was in it. I saw Molly Shannon at one point. I love Molly Shannon. Clancy Brown's in it.
This movie looks interesting, I think.
Oh, yeah. It could be real good. It kind of had, like, you know the trailer for Get Out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me of that, where it's, like, really tense and realistic, but weird.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would describe it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So this is probably good. I'll check this out. I think this doesn't come out until April 2020, so it's got a while yet. I'll probably watch it when it's streaming on something. I don't really go to the theater anymore. But yeah, it looked good. I'll check it out.
I imagine we'll probably have another trailer that fleshes out the actual plot a little bit more.
Yeah, they didn't want to give away too much. It was just sort of the setup. And again, I wasn't even clear if she was like killing these guys or what the end game was, but I'm sure it didn't end well for them.
Well, in the trailer too, she kept going, like she's like, what are you gonna do? And she's like, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
So, all right. So then we have a trailer for a movie called In the Heights.
Yeah, this has been on my radar for a while, just because In the Heights is a musical that was written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is one of my favorite human beings in the world. And I was excited about it because I was like, oh, Lin's gonna be in a movie, but it's the character that he originated is being played by a different guy. He's just got a cameo in it.
This movie, the music is immediately recognizable, and it to me it just looks like a Spanish Hamilton musical in New York City.
Well, In the Heights was the proto, because he wrote In the Heights first.
Okay.
Like, In the Heights was sort of like Lin's breakout musical, and then it got a little traction, and then he was like, I'm going to write a musical about the Federalist Papers.
Yeah, I'm actually not a big, like, I don't really like Hamilton, which really? I know is, yeah, I know that's, I'm kind of against the grain on that one, but this sounds very much like Hamilton.
I know almost all the words to the entire 3 hours of Hamilton.
Dang, that's a lot of remembering there.
I love me some musicals, though.
Do you have a favorite musical?
My favorite is probably Moulin Rouge. I like Hamilton a lot. I like to sing Music of the Night from Phantom of the Opera, but it's not my favorite of all musicals. It's just that one song is like the best song. It's hard to pick. There's so many good ones.
So many. Another time, for another episode, maybe. We'll dive deep.
I'll have to think about it.
All right, so then we have a trailer that you and I have been waiting for a while, and boy, did it deliver. Ghostbusters Afterlife.
This one was a gift from the heavens.
Oh my goodness. I mean, look, the 2016 with all the all females, I like it. I own it on Blu-ray.
Me too.
I thought it was a fun movie.
Yep, I like it. Have it on Blu-ray.
Yep. And but you and I agree that we connected with this trailer. I think we're going to connect with Ghostbusters Afterlife in a different way.
Yeah, I'll definitely like, I won't say anything against the 2016 one. I have room in my heart for all Ghostbusters.
Yep.
This one, I don't know. I think seeing the old uniforms like in the basement, because it's clearly like Egon's old house, and seeing all his stuff there, and having Harold Ramis be gone, and these other guys still around. I don't know. Just I saw it and it got me. Like the feel that they wanted me to have, I felt it.
Yeah, I mean, seeing Egon's collection of molds and funguses and just, I don't know. Yeah, it's like a nostalgic trip, but it's treated very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And I just cannot wait.
Yeah, and I was talking to a few people about this. My cousin thought it was weird, like the tone was a little weird because the original Ghostbusters is like a straight up comedy and it's like campy.
Right.
And my response was that when you do a 20-year sequel, you have to start with a little reverence. And like even Jumanji did this. Like the beginning of Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, was very similar in tone, where it was like, you know, a more serious beginning. It was a little reverent towards the source material. And then it got into its own personality. And that's what I feel like this will do. And it'll have that the Ghostbusters spirit. Because, you know, it's directed by Jason Reitman.
Whoa, killer replica.
He was on set when they filmed the originals.
Listen, I have no doubt that there's going to be some good goofing. They're going to start goofing. And it's going to be, like, you can start off serious and then start goofing. I'm fine with that.
Plus, it's got everyone pretty much from the original cast, except for probably Lewis.
Yeah. So that's coming out. When is that coming out?
Ghostbusters comes out July 20th of 2020. You know, mm-hmm. Or July 10th, rather. You know, if Lewis shows up in this movie, like, unannounced, I will stand up in my chair with my arms above my head and just be like, this is perfect. This is, how did you manage this? Because Rick Moranis has been straight up retired for quite some time.
Yep. If Lewis shows up, he needs to show up in, like, the third quarter of the movie, like kind of like he does in the first one.
It would be so good. Do you have any theories about the plot?
I don't. I haven't even thought about it.
I think that Paul Rudd might be the bad guy.
Who are you?
Oh.
Because the Shandor Manor is in the trailer. So my friend Dale said that maybe Paul Rudd was like a descendant of Shandor. But also, the first thing I thought of was maybe he wants the original Ghostbusters to come back, and so he's going to do something to make ghosts happen.
Gretchen, stop trying to make
a ghost trap
happen. It's not going to happen.
Because he seemed like a fanboy.
Could be, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Could be.
I'll come back to this episode after I see it in July of 2020 and see how wrong I was, because I'm always wrong when I guess the plots of things.
All right, moving on, we got a trailer for Virgin River on Netflix.
Yeah, I put this in the movie section. I am not clear whether this was a movie or a series. It said series in the YouTube trailer, but it certainly didn't look like a series. It looked like a movie.
Well, whether it is a series or a movie, Netflix is clearly trying to cash in on Lifetime movies.
Yeah, this looked like the Lifetime like rom-com movie.
I'm going to tell you, you would have to pay me to watch this.
Well, you're not going to be happy with the mini-series we're doing reviewing each episode in depth. I've already got sponsors on board.
Oh, it's Patreon content,
yeah,
right?
Patreon content.
We're gonna hate watch it.
Yeah, Patreon.
Yes. Oh God, this looks terrible. I hate everything about this. I think I probably hate this nearly as much as talking animal kid movies.
Yeah, because it was like overly saccharine.
It's just corny, cheesy city. Everything about it is terrible, and I hate it.
It reminded me of like if someone who had never seen Gilmore Girls was trying to explain Gilmore Girls to someone else, because you might think Gilmore Girls is a show like that, but it's a lot wittier. But you might not know that if you only have like cultural osmosis information about Gilmore Girls. So if you tried to explain it to someone without having seen it, that's what you get here.
This very much felt like these movies that come out on Netflix, like A Night Before Christmas with Vanessa Hudgens.
Uh-huh.
Like just terribly corny and cheesy Christmas special movies or whatever that she's in. This had the same kind of feel to it.
It looks like it is a series. I'm looking at the IMDb page and it says season one. How can you have a rom-com as a series?
I would rather eat a hare and mayonnaise sandwich.
I think I would just watch the show.
So that does it for all the movies, movie trailers that are coming out. But we have a couple of TV things coming out. We have something called Motherland Fort Salem. Is it called Motherland?
Yeah, it looked like it was Motherland : Fort Salem.
Yeah, so this is like an alternative history type of movie.
Yeah, I think it was like a short series, or like maybe an anthology series. Like they're gonna do, maybe the plan is for Motherland season two to be something else. You know, this one's Fort Salem, the second one would be like Motherland something else, you know.
Gotcha. Well, basically the gist of this is that the Salem witch trials happen, but they end up getting the witches to protect and go into battle with the U.S. Army.
Uh-huh. It was kind of a cheesy trailer, but the concept was kind of interesting.
See, that's the thing, Nick. I thought, man, the concept for this is actually really kind of neat, but the execution is just terrible. I felt like it was all over the place. You know, I thought my immediate thought was, you know what? If they made this to be like the first Hellboy, mm-hmm. like if that was the tone and sort of the approach, man, it could be really cool, but that is not what they did.
I wonder if it could iron itself out, if it's a series, if it can iron out some of it in a couple episodes, maybe get like a tone established. Because like, there's something there for this. There's something there that they're touching on that I'm interested in. But I don't know, it just might be too cheesy.
To me, it's a little bit too much like Sabrina, Teenage Witch, which is like, that to me, that's like more realism, like it's in the real world. I want mm-hmm. more fantasy, like Hellboy type of aesthetic.
I wish someone would make Hellboy properly, and like it could be a good series, but they keep doing it wrong. Like the Guillermo del Toro Hellboy movies are good movies, but like doesn't really touch on the source material that much. The first one more so, but I didn't see the reboot. I know you did, and it wasn't that great, but. No,
in this show Motherland, the bad guys are called the Spree, and I immediately I was like, oh, they're like a disc like candy sold in rolls.
It's the Polyphonic Spree. They've gone too strong and gotten out of control.
I didn't think Spree was a great name.
No, I don't know. Bad guys. Like I said, there's something there. I don't know if they're gonna find it in this season.
Yeah, I don't either. We have another show coming out called Spinning Out. And this is a show about Tanya Harding and her mom.
I don't think it's actually about Tanya Harding, because they referenced her. But see, the problem with this show is that I love January Jones, and so I'm gonna feel compelled to watch this because she's in it. I don't know if it'll be good, or it might be too melodramatic.
It looks to me to be that way, and it just looks like sort of the cliche, real hard mom, and the daughter's an ice skater, and she's demanding perfection. And is there a scene where she bites her own arm in this trailer? It's weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. When I had heard about this movie, it was because January Jones was talking about it, and I thought it was like starring her. And then I was like, oh, she's not the main character. Because I was like originally sort of waiting for this trailer. It was like, oh, January Jones show. She should be the main character of something.
Not just somebody's wife?
Yeah.
Is January Jones in an X-Men movie?
She's Emma Frost in First Class.
That's it.
Yep. But she's cool. She's always good. I like her a lot.
Yeah. We also had the final trailer for The Witcher, which comes out December 20th.
This show looks so good. Every time I see a trailer for this, it's a better trailer than the last one.
I cannot wait. And the people that are getting early screenings are having great things to say about it.
Everything looks good. Like, I don't know. I feel like because Henry Cavill was cast as Geralt, that his insistence on making fans of the source material happy and the fans of the games, because I know he's big into the games. So I think that's apparent just on the way certain things look. Like, at one point, Yennefer was pretty much wearing the outfit she wears in the game.
The Elf God will destroy everything.
They have the two swords, which is more of a game thing than it is in the books. I mean, he has the swords, but it's not a big deal in the books. Yennefer's got purple eyes. I was so happy about that. See, in Game of Thrones, in the Game of Thrones books, have you read them?
I have not.
Daenerys has purple eyes, and in the show she doesn't, and it's just like, really, it's not that hard, you know? And then in The Witcher, it's like Yennefer with her purple eyes, and I was like, see? It can be done. But, you know, you and I will rag on Game of Thrones. We don't care.
I will. I do not care.
Yeah. But this The Witcher is one of my favorite things ever, so I'm... This is one of those things where, like, you have to convince me not, like, you have to convince me otherwise. Like, my hype is there. And you have to convince me that it's unjust.
I'm just really happy that you're a person who's played the games, read the books, and you're hyped for this. You've seen this footage, and you like what you see. So that gets me pumped. And I will say, this final trailer is really less about like the monsters and special effects, and more giving you the scale. Mm-hmm. So it's like showing you the landscapes and these very large battles sort of from like a top-down view. And so it's like, hey, man, we've got the scale that you want from like Game of Thrones that gets in here. So come on down.
Sir Nami, a sea of black and gold.
Yeah, and that first opening shot of just like the skyline of Novigrad, which I recognized immediately as Novigrad, is just so like satisfying to see.
All right, so we're really excited about that. We'll definitely talk about that when we see it.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a big deal. So that brings us to a trailer mailers. You've got
mail. We have a couple things this week. The most fun will be the responses to the last week's question times. But first, I want to thank Sheila the Tuba and Bridgesaurus for the reviews on Apple Podcasts. I don't check Apple quite that much, so I'm not sure when you left them, but we really appreciate it. They both left 5-star reviews and put little comments about how they like the show, and we really appreciate that. So thanks for taking the effort to log into iTunes and leave the reviews. That really helps us out.
Yeah, you warm my heart. You warm my heart.
Yes, you guys will forever be friends of the show.
Then we had an email. I jumped into the email for a minute, and Jay, friend of the show, Jay emailed us.
Oh yeah, he came at us.
He came at us and, oh, I forgot what he said. Nick, what did he say?
He said that the glaive from the movie Krull has 5 blades. I called it a 3-bladed weapon.
How dare you, Nick?
I know. I'm pretty much a fake nerd. I just pretend to like all this stuff so that I can get like likes on the internet. So, you know. No. Yeah, it had 5 blades. And he said that Willem Dafoe's name is pronounced Dafoe, and he just never corrected anybody and went with it. But because he went with it, I still say that saying Dafoe is the correct thing now, because he that's what he says now. He doesn't say Dafoe.
Willem Dafriend.
And then he put you on blast and said, Ben, you had one job, man. You guys used the word nihilists on a podcast about movie trailers, and you didn't squeeze in an audio clip from The Big Lebowski? Shame. And why don't you tell me what you said?
So I replied, a shame, ? Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
This is perfect. Perfect.
Got him.
Yep. So, Jay, you come at us, we're going to come right back at you, buddy.
You're entering a world of pain.
Out of love, though. Yeah, so that was good. So thanks for that mail. And then thank you for all the responses to last week's question times. We were, after the episode, when we turned off the recording, Nick and I just chat for a second and we say, man, I really hope people answer the questions times, because that'll just be so fun to read everybody's responses. And you didn't let us down, folks.
Yep. This is, I'm going to read the movie ones first and then the video games. So Bridget, who's probably the same Bridgesaurus that left that review on Apple, she responded, she would ride, her large animal would be a great eagle from Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Her small animal would be a hippogriff from Harry Potter, which is a good one because you know that thing's going to be a loyal mount. And her weapon would be a bow and arrow. So I'm picturing her sort of like Legolas, like firing arrows from these like various flying creatures. You know, one goes down, she just hops to the next one. And then our friend Charlie, who we spoke about last week, he had the arcade bot costume that I put on the Instagram story. He also wanted to ride Falcor. That was his large creature. So he's cruising around on that luck dragon. If he's got a downgrade to a smaller creature, he's going to take Valkyrie's Pegasus.
Yep.
And his weapon is Stormbreaker. So Charlie's basically Thor here.
Basically, yep.
And then Mike on Instagram commented, his big creature would be Godzilla. So you yep. and I are riding Anguirus and Ghidorah. And then Mike comes in. He's just like, I'm going to ride the lead one. And so he comes in on Godzilla, and there we sit on our smaller Godzilla monsters. And then his small creature is my favorite thing ever. He put a Xenomorph from Alien.
That's not going to be a comfortable ride. I'll just go ahead and tell you. You seen those things, spinal columns?
I'm picturing like a saddle on, like wedged in between those back pipes, and it doesn't want him on it, but there's nothing it can do because he's strapped into the saddle. So it's like running up and down the halls, and like, because they can run on the ceiling and stuff. So I'm picturing him strapped to the Xenomorph, like, what did I do?
That is the most dangerous ride too, because like if somebody has a gun and like clips that Xenomorph and it starts bleeding, you're gonna get real burned.
Well, Mike's gun that he chose, his movie weapon is Lawgiver from Judge Dredd, the 1995 one. So if he's not real careful, he could end up shooting his own mount and then spraying goo all over the place. Mike, I think you might actually do better riding Godzilla.
Yeah, I think I'd probably feel more comfortable riding Godzilla for sure.
Yeah, but thank you very much for the mental image of yourself trying to ride a Xenomorph.
That's pretty great.
And then we had some responses on the video games edition as well, and I'm just going to go right back to Mike. He answered both. His large creature is a Furrosh from Breath of the Wild, the Zelda game. And I looked that up because I don't have a Switch yet. But man, that is a cool-looking creature.
Yeah, for sure. I'm in the middle of playing it right now. And then also his second answer was also from Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, that his first answer was a Furrosh, which is kind of like a big dragon thing. And it's gorgeous-looking. Yep. His second answer is a Lynel from Breath of the Wild, which is sort of like a lion centaur.
And they are really difficult to fight, I'll go ahead and tell you, because you have to perfectly time these dodges, and it's really difficult to do. So they're real tough.
So Mike's riding around on these Breath of the Wild creatures, and he's got the chain gun from Doom, so he's just blasting away all these enemies. I like to think that this is all happening in the same battle. You and I are over here on our creatures, and Mike and Charlie and Bridget are cruising around as well.
Pretty great. Pretty good scene there.
And then our final response we got in the video games section was from Quicksilver Babe, who is a friend of ours. And Lindsay said that her large creature would be one of the Egyptian gods from Origins. It's just like, if you're going to go all out.
I haven't played Origins, but I understand that to be very large.
Yeah, I looked it up and I just was like, oh, yep, this will do. And her second answer was, I liked it just as much as I liked the Xenomorph, which she chose Spyro.
Now that seems like a more comfortable mount.
I feel like it matches her aesthetic too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And then her weapon is the Telesto from Destiny,
which I absolutely love. That is such a fine answer, such a good answer, because as a matter of fact, I was playing Destiny 2 last night on Stadia, and I was using the Telesto because it is a amazing weapon. Such a good answer. Well done, Lindsay.
So thank you guys for sending in the responses. It was a lot of fun for us to read them. It was a lot of fun to read on the show. So I hope you guys will also answer these this week's question times, which I will post. The show comes out Monday. I'll probably post them Monday afternoon or Tuesday so that people have time to sort of answer them throughout the week before we read them on the next one.
That'll be great. So, all right. Well, that does it for the main part of the show. But stick around because we still got the video games quarter portion of the show coming up. Nick, do we want to tell them about where they can reach us at? Send me an email
with all the details. You can follow us on Instagram at Trailer Blazers Podcast. That's where I do the brunt of my updates and posts and interaction because I like Instagram. You can also check out the very good video that I just posted. I am very proud of my joke. Highly recommend going onto the Instagram at Trailer Blazers Podcast if you're a regular listener to the show just to see the video I uploaded. If you want to email us, you can email us at trailerblazerspod@gmail.com. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, which really the only thing that happens on Twitter is it auto posts when I upload a new episode or something, and that's at @trailer_blazers. And if you could do like Bridgesaurus and Sheila the Tuba did and leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, which is still the best way for the show to gain traction.
All right. Well, folks, it's been fun. My name is Ben, and I'm eating a peanut butter softball.
My name is Nick, and I am an NPC in an MMO. Happy Trailsers.
Happy Trailsers. Welcome back to the Video Games quarter portion of the show.
My name is Nick. I will be your guide through the Crimson Desert of the video games portion. Our first trailer is Crimson Desert.
Crimson Desert.
My cousin told me this is a sequel to Black Desert Online. I don't know if that was true or if he just said that because the name has desert in it. I did not do any further research. The game trailer looked pretty cool, I thought, but I don't like MMOs.
You know, never heard of it. Black Desert, never heard of it.
I actually am not a big MMO guy either. I don't have the time. And I was actually surprised that this is an MMO. I mean, it looks fairly modern, but it does look pretty good for an MMO, I would say.
Yeah, everything looked cool. The art design looked cool. There was a bunch of like weapons and armor. I was like, oh, this looks like a fun game. And then it said MMORPG, and I was like, oh, man.
it's kind of like an Irish fantasy. So there's like giants and trolls and things of that nature.
That's pretty much like right up my alley.
Yeah, but you're not gonna play it probably.
Well, probably not, because I don't want to do the online part. Like, I just like single player games. I don't know. With this next game is a single player game. It's a remake of Resident Evil 3. So I guess they're just going through the entire canon, remaking them. Because the Resident Evil 2 remake was really good, so I have high hopes that the Resident Evil 3 remake will be good as well.
Well, I guess they sell pretty well because they keep making them.
I used to do a lot of cosplays from Resident Evil. Well, I still have all the stuff, so I have two pretty good Chris Redfield costumes in my basement.
Is Jill Valentine the character in this game?
It's Jill Valentine for sure, I know that. Is this Nemesis?
I don't know. I've only played Resident Evil 4, so I really can't tell you anything.
It's Nemesis. Yeah, okay, I'm right. I looked it up.
That's the thing that's chasing her in the trailer?
Yeah, so Resident Evil 3 is Nemesis. I got it confused in my head.
Yeah, I don't know that I really like this kind of stuff when it's like you're powerless and you got that thing chasing you and they're going for like maximum boo-hole puckerage, and I'm not into that.
I only like to play Resident Evil games in a co-op mode, like, because I'm not good at it, but I'm really bad at video games. So my cousin is real good. And we played Resident Evil 5 the whole game through on co-op, and it was one of the most fun game experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And it was because we were playing like that, and he was playing Sheva, and I was Redfield, and he had this like sniper gun, so he would always like get somewhere far away, and anything that got even within like 2 feet of me would just drop, because he was like covering me so well, and I would like go down on the ground and like have a shotgun and do like the heavy work, and he would just like cover me, and it worked so well that it was just a really fun game. And a lot of people who play Resident Evil 5 single player don't like it because it's largely because the AI is so bad for your companion, and people who play a co-op always tend to like it, which is what we did. So I have a very strong opinion of Resident Evil 5 because I played it co-op.
I love a co-op game. Those are fun.
Mm-hmm.
Tackling a challenge with your friends.
Oh, yeah. I always heard that, what was it called?
Army of Two?
No.
That Prison Break game?
Okay, I found it.
What is it?
Far Cry. So I heard the most recent Far Cry game had good co-op mode.
I didn't even know it had co-op mode.
Yeah, Kevin and my friend Dale played co-op mode of Far Cry 5, and I guess they enjoyed it.
Well, speaking of multiplayer games, there's another game that came out, or that got a release date trailer. We've known about it for a while, but it's Predator Hunting Grounds. And this game actually looks kind of fun, but I think it's an asymmetrical multiplayer game, which I haven't played a game like that since Left 4 Dead 2 back in 2009. And this Predator Hunting Grounds game kind of looks like it came out in 2009.
Did you ever play Aliens vs. Predator 2?
I did not.
Aliens vs. Predator 2 is in my top three video games ever in terms of how fun it was. And that was one where I did like to play online. I remember it because I didn't have fast internet, but my grandma did, so I had it installed on her computer. And when I would go over to her house, I would play it, and you'd just make these little teams with people, and you'd have the Predator guys teamed up against the humans and stuff. It was so fun, and there was all these different Predator gadgets, like you could have the sticky bombs, and it worked just how you would want it to, and it was just a really fun game. They haven't made a good Predator game since then, and I don't know if this one's going to be it.
Yeah, I this is not a game that I would purchase.
Yeah, probably not, me neither.
Then we also had a VR game called Boneworks, and this is a VR game with FMV, full motion video.
This, I've been watching clips of like people testing out parts of this game, and there's one, I'll try and find the clip and I'll put it in the show notes. There's a video where this guy, there's a creature that attacks him, and he takes the creature and pushes it in a locker, and he like shoves it in a locker and closes it into the locker in the game. This is what I want VR to be, man.
I think it even said something like it's an experimental type of VR game. But to me, it looks like a game that comes complete with motion sickness and your own vomit.
I've been in the HTC Vive for a lot of different things. I've never gotten motion sickness.
I've done the other one, Oculus Rift, and I didn't get motion sickness either, but I didn't play a game where you like walked around or ran around. It was like you teleported only. And that was fine. Like, I didn't get sick doing that. But I wonder, this movie that you have, like, you're like falling through the floor and running around and jumping and stuff. And it just, I think that probably would make me sick.
I did the one in Oculus, or not in Oculus, in HTC Vive. There's one, because it sets up a little perimeter. So you're walking around in like a cube always. And I did one where you can like walk a plank on top of the Empire State Building and stuff like that. So it's just like stuff that would intentionally kind of freak you out. And some people I know were freaking out. It doesn't bother me. I don't know. I don't get motion sickness. So I was all right with it.
I get real bad. I get motion sickness on roller coasters that do corkscrews.
See, the only thing I've ever got was I felt nauseous on a boat once because it was like a real long boat trip.
I took a cruise and I didn't get sick one time. I actually got reverse land sickness, so when I got back to land at the end of the cruise, I still felt like I was moving, and I got just not sick. I just was like, ugh, kind of woozy a couple times.
That's how I felt on a boat that went across Lake Michigan, and that's when I watched Prince of Persia with no sound because I wouldn't pay for the earbuds.
That's good times. Well, that really is only things that came out for the Vigigames.
Yeah, Vigigames is going to be more intense next week because we had the Game Awards going on. So there was a lot of reveals happening like right around now. And to lift the veil a little, we record on Friday nights. So like there's going to be stuff throughout the weekend that we don't have time to adjust. So, and we'll probably need something for next week because they gave us all the good movie trailers this week.
Yeah. I think the video games portion will definitely be bigger next week. It'll take up a little bit more time, and we might be a little bit thinner on the movie trailers.
We're just going to talk more about the Bee Simulator game and ignore all this other stuff because Bee Simulator is pretty much my most anticipated game right now.
That's pretty great. I actually don't know what my most anticipated game is right now, other than
really, it's Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk 2077 is my number one.
Cyberpunk 2077, The Last of Us Part 2, and Beast Simulator are mine.
Nick, I have a strange feeling. I have a good feeling that you and I are probably going to want to make costumes from Cyberpunk.
I think probably you're right, because that's pretty much the best aesthetic.
We do want that. We do. All right, folks. Well, that does it for this edition of Trailer Blazers. I'm Ben, and I'm not running away from Nemesis.
I'm Nick, and I'm lost in the Crimson Desert online.
Happy Trailsers again.
Happy Trailsers. Megadon.